Here again, the 20th verse of the Gospel for today, from the 10th Gospel according to St. Luke. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In the name of Jesus, my wonderful Savior, dearly beloved. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. How would it be different if the words read, rejoice because God has predestined you to life eternal? The difference would be that perhaps then what seems so simple would become very difficult or sound difficult. Did you say predestination? Predestination is tough. Because our little minds always want to probe what was going on way back there eons ago when God began to scribble names in his notebook. Indeed, every time we try to push back the clouds and to search out the secret counsels of God, we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we say he wrote down some names, therefore he didn't write down other names. Therefore, he didn't want the others saved and confined them to hell. Stop. All answers. God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Holy Spirit was not winking when he had the apostle pen those words. And we know how we get in trouble the other way. When we say, of course, Jesus died for all. The reason that God wrote down certain names is that he knew these people would, by a decision of their free will, accept Christ, or at least would not resist him as the others did. Stop. Wrong answer number two. That destroys grace as the cause of our salvation. Besides looking within ourselves, as we certainly must do today again before we come to the sacrament, is not a very exhilarating experience. What your sins of youth, lukewarm devotion, feverish pride that gloats in all of our successes and emphasizes our importance in the work of ministry. So as we ask for the blessing and power of the Holy Spirit, let's look first of all at this names written in heaven business and then at the rejoicing. This is of course not the only place in the Bible in which we have reference to names written in heaven. Moses already talked about it when he was pleading for the children of Israel in the wilderness. God said in the book of Daniel that he would deliver his people those written in the book. And the last book of the Bible has several references, including one to the Lamb's Book of Life. Our Lutheran Confessions, Article 11, Formula of Concord, talks about Christ as the Book of Life. So if we cannot rationalize this, what has God revealed to us? What do we know? We know, number one, that Jesus died for our sins, made sin for us, and that his blood cleanses us from all sin. Indeed, we know he died for all. That, 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, an objective, glorious declaration of forgiveness. We know, number two, that God the Holy Spirit has used that word of the gospel to bring us to accept this gracious offer of our Father in heaven. Oh, blessed be we are the children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That blessing is sealed to us already in our baptism, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. On that day, God said, this one, given this name, this day is mine. And all of those blessings are dispensed for us today again in the Blessed Sacrament. And the pastor says, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, he is saying to you, repentant, believing sinner, your name is written in heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, would you not then also have the great confidence that our God in his mercy, even before he created the world, chose us in Jesus Christ to be again? No, we are not thereby playing the part of proud and pompous Pharisees We know very well what the Lord Jesus says about those who for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. But we also know he said that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, that nobody can pluck us from his hand. We confess with the Apostle Paul that he who has begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And with that apostle we confess, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Translation, our name, our written in heaven. So the path that we travel is not one whereby we start way back there in order to find out where we are now and who we are and what we're going to be tomorrow. But rather we begin with the here and now. We grasp the promises that God gives us now. And from that are sure of what happened then and by God's grace what will happen. This is precisely the way Paul does it in Ephesians 1, isn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the present. The past, according as he has chosen us to do before the foundation of the world. And then, in later verses, to the future, when he speaks of the future inheritance and the redemption of the purchased possession. That is great. Name written in heaven. Therefore, rejoice. Look at a concordance sometime at all the places where you see the word joy. Rejoice. Column after column after column. Either telling us we should or telling us about those who did. And there are many reasons for rejoicing. David rejoiced at the liberality of his people when they brought offerings to the temple that his son Solomon was to build. Hezekiah rejoiced at the cleansing of the temple during his reign. Paul rejoiced at the liberality of the Philippians who took care of his material needs. And so we could go on. So when Jesus here says, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, we have to understand what he is saying. It was certainly rightfully pleasing to these people that the devils were subject and that many had devils chased out of them. Pleasing to them that those people expressed their gratitude to God and to them. Nor does our Savior say we should not rejoice at the gifts that he gives, at the privilege that we have to be in this place to study for the office of the Holy Ministry, to rejoice at growth inward and outward in a Christian congregation. He simply wants to draw them and us again back to the basics. Your real joy, he says, and the basis for all your other rejoicing is not in what you have done for others, but what God has done for you. Mind you, no theology of glory here that blinds us to our sin and sickness and pain. No theology of glory as though the battle were already done. For we can rejoice even in the time of suffering. The apostles rejoiced when they were beaten, rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. So did Paul and Silas sitting there with their bleeding backs in the prison of Philippi. And Habakkuk says it so well. Although the fig tree shall not bloom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The moment after the Lord spoke these words, he turned to his disciples who heard, and he said to them privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. The one thing needful of which he speaks later in this text, which shall not be taken away from us. Your names are written in heaven. You bless. Amen.